This is part four, and this is the wrap-up of manifesting God's reality in our lives. Do you want to? Because you don't have to. Do you want to? Okay. Now, if you're going to manifest God's reality, it means you're going to step out in faith. It means you're going to do in faith the things that God has said you can do. You're going to do them. You're going to actually see them. It's actually going to be a part of your life. It's actually going to take place. It's actually going to be tangible to you. And people are going to see it because you see it. And it'll be hard to contain, like Carol. That's manifesting God's reality. And we have all manifested God's reality to a certain degree, one way or the other, in our lives. Some of us, the bare minimum is getting born again for all of us. That's manifesting God's reality. We become a new creation in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? We all know this, right?
Yes.
If you don't know it, go to the new U class. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're a brand new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Period. That means the old me, the natural man, or the natural woman, died.
Yes.
With Jesus. When he died on the cross, we died. Because we're in him. And everything about our lives died. And it went into the ground. And when he rose, we rose new. And in that newness is what being born again is. In that newness, we have been given everything that pertains to life and godliness. We have been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have been given and given and given and given and given. We can manifest all he says we have. Healing and prosperity and, of course, our righteousness and forgiveness and being able to love and be loved. And it goes on and on and on and on so that every need is supplied according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Everything! Wow! Why aren't we seeing it? Ephesians chapter, I'm going to read this real quick because this is, I really got to wrap this up. Ephesians 4, 20 through 24, don't go there. Ephesians 4, 20 through 24, Paul is speaking about putting on the new man and putting on the new woman. You put them on. You put them on when you get born again, it becomes a part of your life. But it isn't a part-time part of your life. It's a full-time part of your life. It is all the time. It's a continual part. It's a, whether you're asleep, whether you're awake, whether you're working, whether you're out doing something, it doesn't matter. Whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you got kids, whether you don't, it doesn't matter. It means you put on the new man or woman continually. And that you put off the old man or woman continually until they don't exist anymore. Now the new man or the new woman is the spiritual man or woman. The old man or woman is the natural man or woman. The natural man or woman are subject to the world, the flesh, and the devil, and that is their reality. That is it. Whatever the world says, whatever the government says, whatever anybody else says, whatever our flesh wants, feels like, determines, whatever the devil suggests, that is the reality of the natural man or woman. Yuck! That's not what Jesus paid for. The spiritual man or woman lives above and not beneath. Amen. Is the head and not the tail.
Amen.
Period. Is a king and a queen. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And it avails you and I everything he paid for. But to live as a spiritual man and a spiritual woman is where we need to be. Put it on. Put it on. Put it on. Well, how does that happen? The last couple, 3 weeks, two, 3 weeks, we covered this. It starts in the heart. Remember the heart? Everything comes out of the heart. Life comes out. We live out of our heart, and the heart is like the driver of the automobile of our life. And the driver of the automobile says, I'm going to, if you're a natural man or woman, you're going to miss a lot of your exits. You're going to be on a highway to destruction, really. The natural man and the natural woman live there. They stumble. They have a hard time. They're subject to all this pull and sway. And you know what? And they don't know what to believe. They're double-minded in all their ways. Unstable in all their ways. That's the natural man and natural woman. Driven by the heart. And the heart's got issues, I'm telling you. And I don't care, there's not a one in here that doesn't have issues. Not one. And Jesus came to take care of those issues. If we'll face them and deal with them and confront them and admit them. Number two. And the second, third parts of this were what we put in our thinker, our mind. Because our mind, in the car of our life, the mind is the engine of the car that powers the automobile, powers the heart. The engine or the mind feeds the heart. It feeds it. And what happens is we get fed with this, everything that we see, everything that we read, everything we watch, everything we look on the internet, everything that we check on Facebook and what everybody says and does and the things that we hear, everything goes into our mind and feeds our heart. So what you're feeding your mind, you're feeding your heart, and you believe it. And there goes the car off in the ditch. Missed the exits. Because we fed our minds with junk, garbage, putrid, foul things, disgusting, negativity. All the stuff that's in the news, it's just a smidgen of what's out there for us to feed on. Yes. Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart with all diligence. Guard your mind and guard your heart. Guard your mind and guard your heart. Guard your mind and guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. It's going to determine your life. They work together. And we don't guard them. Hardly at all. Most people. Lastly, to wrap this series up, you got the car of your life, you got the driver, you got the engine, you got the car, the basic car, your life. And then you need a destination. Right? Yes. We're going someplace. How do you get to your destination? What provides your destination? Where is your destination? It comes out of your mouth. The mouth is going to take you to your destination, either as a natural man or woman, or as a spiritual man or woman. I want to read this to you because of time. Luke chapter 6, verses 43 and 44 and 45. And I want you to hear this. I think too often we read the word and it doesn't become quite so applicable to us. I don't know that we don't take it seriously or if it just hasn't hit. But when Jesus speaks, he means it. Luke 6, 43 and 40 through 45. For a good tree, and he's outlining two different things. A good tree does not bear bad fruit. Oh, a spiritual man or woman, he's speaking about the life, okay? The life. A good tree does not bear bad fruit, junk, destruction. Nor does a bad tree bear good fruit, because it can't. That's the comparison between the spiritual man or woman and the natural man or woman. Verse 44, for every tree is known by its own fruit and what it produces. So my life is going to show the fruit that I produce, right? And so are you. All of us do. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man or a good woman, out of the good treasure of their heart, brings forth good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his or her heart, brings forth evil. Here it is again. Good would be the spiritual man or woman. Bad would be the natural. Right? For out of the abundance of the heart comes the direction for the life. Literally, Jesus said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Your mouth and my mouth, openly, whether you realize it or not, says what you believe, what you think, what you feel, what you care about, what's important to you, where your spiritual life is at, and where your natural life is at. It brings out, your mouth tells whether you're living as a natural man or woman or a spiritual man or woman. Your mouth will tell on you. And I mean, and let me tell you something, and it's open. I mean, it's like unashamed, it's openly declares about you. Just as mine does. Our mouth takes us in the direction of either the natural man and woman or the spiritual man and woman. And it will take us in the direction of manifesting God's reality or away from it. One or the other. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 28. I'm asking you not to go there today for lack of time. Proverbs 15, 28 says, the heart of the righteous, that's everybody that's born again. Let's bring this up through the cross. Everybody that's born again, that is a spiritual man or woman. Everybody that has a new identity, a new life, who has everything given to them and can manifest that reality that God has given them in their lives. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, how to speak. The heart of the righteous studies, considers, thinks about, meditates on, weighs out how to speak. Because out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth will tell on you. But the mouth of the wicked, or let's say the natural man or woman, because anybody that's not born again is evil. Can we agree? You can't be good because Jesus doesn't live in you. I'm not talking about you, but the person that's not born again. There's only good and there's only evil. God is good, the devil is evil. And you're either one way or the other. The mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. It's important, it is crucial to our lives. If we want to get to the destination of manifesting God's reality, it is crucial in our lives that we not be paranoid. But that we be conscious of our words. Because they're taking you to a destination. Do you want to go there? Do you really want to go there? And do you want to take anybody with you? Or no? As a spiritual man or woman. Ephesians 4:29 says, and this is on us. Paul writes, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. In the Greek, corrupt means worthless or rotten. Worthless or rotten. Rotten fruit, when it touches other fruit, kills it. Worthless? What does worthless provide us? Nothing. Worthless. So if something is worthless in our words and what's coming out of our mouth, telling on us what we think and what we're thinking on and what we're feeding on and what's embedded in our hearts. Oh my gosh. You know, we have the ability to make the change. This is God's grace. God's grace, it's His ability to us to live, to do, to rise up, to rise above, to do things. You know, James says, no man, no woman can tame the tongue. Nobody. But God can. And He's in us if we put on the new man or woman. That means we can let no corrupt word come out of our mouth that's going to dictate and manifest some ungodly or awful reality in our lives. Right. We can choose that.
Amen.
Then the converse of what Paul writes is, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Necessary building up. Like, oh my gosh, thank you, Jesus. You mean God wants to prosper me even in these times? Uh-huh. You mean God wants me well even in the midst of COVID? Uh-huh. You mean... And on and on and on and on. Speaking a word of edification. Not fluff. Please pardon me when I say this. Not fluff. Who cares about fluff? Speak the word. Speak the truth. Speak God's reality. So that they can be built up and manifest God's reality. And when you hear it, you can too.
That's right. That's right.
Wrapping up. In order to get our life to where we manifest God's reality and manifest His reality regularly, not just once in a while, we have to apply faith to what we say, to what we speak in our heart, out of our heart. Remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth reveals what you really believe and what you're saying. And your heart is fed by your brain, what you think on, what you feed this thing. And so, one of my favorite verses, for decades, when I got a hold of this, it changed my life. It changed my health, changed my prosperity, changed my job, and I don't mean pastoring, I meant before that. It changed all kinds of areas of my, changed relationships. It got a hold of me and it changed how I saw myself. It changed what I thought my value was. It changed my heart, it changed my thinking, it changed the way my brain works. And this is Mark 11, 22 and 23. Synopsis. Jesus with his disciples spoke to a fig tree and said, die. It died that moment. It showed up the next day as dead and withered from the roots up. No way. No way. Yes way. Verse 22, Jesus said to the disciples, and they freaked out. Ah! The tree died. He just spoke to it. Jesus was manifesting God's reality to his disciples, like he did in all kinds of other areas. Through the mouth. Out of his heart, by faith. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. And this is the crucial part. Our faith needs to be in God, not in ourselves. Our faith needs to be in him. Our faith needs to be, so in sync with him. We want to be in sync with the Lord, right?
That's right.
So our faith needs to be in sync with him. What he wants, who he is, what he says, his character, his love, his grace to us, his ability to us and for us. His word. Have faith in God. Verse 23. For assuredly, and I don't think we give this enough weight, when Jesus said and says, assuredly, listen, this is a sure thing from God to you. This is a sure thing. There ain't many sure things on this planet except the Word of God. And when Jesus said, this is a sure thing, you can stake your life for real on this. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever has faith in God, that's the spiritual man or woman. The natural man or woman is not going to have any faith in God, right?
Right, amen.
You're going to manifest God's reality in your life. And you're going to let your mouth take you to the destination. God has said, I've got this for you. This is yours. It's already yours. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever has faith in God says to this mountain, and he's looking around. Jerusalem is surrounded by mountains. They're all around. So I can see him standing there just looking up and looking over there. And say, whoever says to this mountain, this one behind you, right there. Yeah, turn around. Look at it. Look at it. View it. You see what it is? Can you look at it and see it? God's bigger. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. To the natural man or woman, that's ludicrous. To the spiritual man or woman, that's manifesting God's reality, because he said, the person that does this and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that those things he or she says will be done, he or she will have whatever they say. Now, you don't have to be a theologian to get this. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist on this. This is point blank clear. When you speak to your destination, you're manifesting God's reality in this life, in your life. And you need, you have a direction. You have a call for ministry. You have a family arena that needs some adjustment. You have something. You have finances that you need. You need a job. You know, whatever it is. Are you speaking to your destination? Are you calling it out? Are you saying, this is my destination? This is it. And you're taking your life there because you believe in your heart and you don't doubt. And you will have whatever you say. Does it always happen immediately? No. But will it always happen?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his or her heart, but believes those things they say will be done, they will have whatever they say. Period. And so your mouth is taken to your destination of manifesting God's reality in your life. That's it. And it's that simple. Isn't it? By faith. What you feed your mind goes into your heart. Becomes a belief. That's either going to be the natural man and woman, or it's going to be the spiritual. The natural will never manifest the reality of God. And the natural will not like the things of God. Will get frustrated and tired and say, this doesn't work, and walk away. And the spiritual one will say, you know what? God's not the problem. And I'm going to get it. And I'm going to have it. Because it's mine.
Amen.
Belongs to me. In Jesus' name. Because I'm a spiritual man or woman. I'm born again. I'm full of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Remember, your destination for your manifesting God's reality in your life is going to come out of your mouth, from your heart, by faith, in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So my encouragement to you is put on the new man, the new woman, and keep them on. If you want to swim in the murk of the world and all the things that the world, the flesh, and the devil say, you're going to have problems. You're not going to manifest the reality of God. Put on the new man or woman. If you have issues in your heart, address them. Face them, confront them, admit them, and address them. If you're feeding your mind on things that are ungodly, unrighteous, negative, counter to the Word, stop. Because your flesh loves it. Your natural man or woman loves it. Put them off. Yes, you can do this by His grace. And the Holy Spirit will help you. Finally, let the manifestation of God's promised reality come through your mouth. Come through your mouth by faith and start seeing the tangible results. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Well, I sure hope this was a blessing, I tell you, because it ministered to me. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, it's time for what I want to share with you this morning. Parents, everything okay? Okay? All right. If you need to, they can go out. But I really wanted you to be in here. And Father, in Jesus' name, my heart is to share with you all what the Lord has given me. In Deuteronomy, Moses, I call him Pastor Moses. He had one big congregation. He took Israel out of Egypt The Lord gave them an assignment, and they wandered around the desert, and they made a lot of mistakes, and they grew as a church. If you're familiar with how it worked in Exodus and so forth, you'll understand what I'm saying. Moses made some mistakes. He wasn't perfect. But God gave him an assignment. Amen? And he fulfilled his assignment. Almost 11 years ago, the Lord gave me a vision with this church. Laid it out. I mean, it was in living color. It was amazing. And I've never forgotten that. And when the Lord said, plant this church, he said, you have an assignment from me. He said, I want you to plant this church and build it. Plant it, build it. Plant it, build it. Plant it, build it. And we have been 10.5 years now of meeting. We've had a lot of miracles happen. It's been a privilege to bring the grace message here to this area. Back in Deuteronomy, the Lord told Moses to prepare Joshua to take the church, to take Israel to the next step. And several years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, you know him as Pastor Schoen, came into the auditorium where we met, and the Lord said, one day, he's going to take over for you. I went, really? Huh. And the Lord never said when. He just said, do your assignment. So officially, today, I am announcing that I will be stepping aside as the lead pastor. And in about a month, turning the lead pastor role position over to Pastor Schoen, who will be taking over in my stead and leading the church to the next phase, because we are called to go beyond where we are here. I've known it for a long time. The Lord spoke to me and he said, we can't go any farther with you. You're not to take it any farther. This has to be the man that I have chosen to succeed you. I want you to understand that it has been my privilege and honor to be your pastor. For all those that have come and gone and all the time that we have met, to be a part of seeing, being a part of and leading the planting and the building of this body. And we are at to the point now where the assignment next month will be transferred to Pastor Schoen. Now, I will be stepping back, but Pastor Rosie and I will still be here. Yeah.
Praise God.
We're not leaving. Pastor Rosie will still be pastoring. She's still going to be doing her thing. I will be doing some teaching, which is my heart. There's some other things that the Lord has laid on my heart to do in partnering with our church. I'm not leaving ministry. I'm just leaving the lead pastor role. Okay? And like I said, Pastor Rosie will still be pastoring. I will continue on as the maintenance person for the building and the grounds. Glory to God. I am on the legal board of the church. I have been all along. And I am on the legal board that is the oversight of our church. And I will still be there. And I want to tell you that Pastor Schoen is a spiritual son to me. He's very dear to me. And I'm going to ask you, as we go through this transition, it's not going to be hard. It's actually going to be quite smooth. He's going to take really good care of you. And he's going to take this church, by the grace of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to its next phase. And we are going to change. I mean, in a good way. You can expect to see more, better. I mean, you can expect to see some big things. These are the things that the Lord has shown me and him. So he's going to take good care of you because he loves you like Pastor Rosie and I do.
Yes, amen.
And I'm asking you to take good care of him.
Amen.
And take good care of his family. Okay? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We will still be working with and supporting the ministries that we have in the past, like AWM and Hope Clinic and so forth, and all the ministries that we support and promote. And there won't be any changes internally. Everything's the same. Okay? Except Pastor Schoen will be the leader. So, I'm going to be winding down this month, and we're going to have a transition, a commissioning service. Will be a message and a commissioning service for Pastor Schoen on the 16th of January. There will be a luncheon afterwards. And a celebration for our new move, you know? All right? Praise God. I have loved working with all of you, and our Grace Life director and the instructors and team leaders and all of you in all that you do, because almost all of you serve here. And it has been a real privilege and honor for me. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your love and your prayers as we move forward, all of us.
Amen.
Please never forget that this is the Church of Jesus Christ. It's not any one person's. And he raises up those he's called for the purpose he's called them for his kingdom and his people. You all will always be a part of my heart and a part of my life forever. And I want to thank you all very, very much. Praise God.
Yeah.